Hi everyone, Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Folks, hello there. This is Russ from RST Coaching Academy in Daytona Beach, host of Money Talks. We're on today with my new friend, Aaron Chapman from Branson, Missouri. He's going to talk to us about the mortgage business, mortgage financing for investments, residential investment property, as well as apartments, I suppose, and that whole realm. He's got an interesting story of worth 25 years of history to share with us in about 30 minutes or so. So he's going to have to talk real quick. I bet he will. And we'll pick his brain a little bit and ask him to offer some advice to you folks, our listeners and our viewers. So without any further ado, Aaron, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us in your log cabin there on the edge of Branson. So anyway, tell us where you came from 25 years ago. What the heck were you doing before you got into this game?
So spent my high school years on a cattle ranch, understanding the value of a simple business plan, right? You got to plant, basically prepare the ground, you got to plant it, you got to water it, you got to grow it, you got to cultivate it. That was to feed the animals that we had. Then you had a whole process for growing the animals. We would run beef cattle. So it was either Angus or Simmentals or a cross. And that was from there. I graduated halfway through my senior year of high school to go work in the oil fields of Wyoming. I hated school, so I cheated my ass off to get that C, and I got out. From there, I ran heavy equipment. I drove truck. I found myself in the mines in northern New Mexico in the late 90s, and then they shut down that project. When they shut down that project, I came back with a rather impressive resume for a guy as young as I was. But still had a very difficult time finding a job because everybody I applied with told me I was overqualified. There's not a single job I could find. I got to myself to a point that all these job hunting had just completely exhausted my bank account. I was overdrawn on my checking account, had no savings, was going to get a $10 an hour truck driving job. Now, out of my way out the door that day, my wife gave me a coupon for free diapers because we needed diapers for my infant son, and we were that broke we couldn't even afford them. Went to go apply for this job, got turned down again for being overqualified. As I'm leaving there, wiping tears from my eyes, right? 23-year-old kid, not knowing what to do.
Wait a second. So you applied for a truck driving job?
A $10 an hour truck driving job. And I've been driving a truck for years.
And they said you were overqualified.
Overqualified because of my heavy equipment experience, my welding experience, my mining experience. Like, you're not going to be satisfied just hauling landscape rock. That's why I got turned down. Now, again, I didn't understand this whole overqualified bull crap at the time. But at the time, you know, I had to just endure it. I go to the grocery store. My gas light comes on in my truck en route. So I found a grocery store with a gas station outside, pulled up to a pump, said a quick prayer, slid my debit card in. I got a decline because I was overdrawn. Rifled through my truck, found a few coins, locked the doors, and started walking that parking lot for what seemed like a couple of hours to find enough change to get 2 gallons of gas so I could get home. Then I went into the grocery store, got the corresponding diapers with that coupon. And as I'm leaving, I'm keeping my head down, ignoring everybody because I already went through some serious embarrassment today. Turned down on a job that to me was just like well below what I was normally doing.
Yeah.
Debit card decline, walking through a parking lot, ignoring people's eyes and just picking up coins and trying not to get people's attention, taking a coupon to pay for the one item that I had. Then I'm trying to get out of there. I heard my name called. And it was a guy that I knew that used to run all the office at a place he used to dig swimming pools 4 years before. He asked me how things were. I explained very, very briefly. I didn't go into detail. But he said, well, let's go to dinner. I'm like, I can't afford dinner. He goes, no. He goes, I got a gift certificate to Red Lobster from some clients. I'll take you. My wife and I went to dinner later that week. And he shared with me about the mortgage industry. He had left the office of that other outfit, went to work in the mortgage industry, gave me the business card of a broker, and I called that guy. He brought me in as an interview. I cut a foot off of my hair. I shaved. My mom bought me some business-like clothes, and they started me as a telemarketer in December of 1997.
As a telemarketer.
That's how I started in the industry. So now fast forward 20-some-odd years.
Let me ask you this. Was that something that you, when the idea was presented to you about telemarketing, did that kind of sound interesting, or was it, oh no, but then you had to do it?
I hated the idea. I was beat down to the point that I'd accept anything.
Okay.
You know, that very first month as a telemarketer, I made $120 in a month. So, you know, when people tell me about what it is that it must be nice or whatever, how tough things are, I've had a few beatings that I've had to take. This is one of the first ones I took in my life. I've had a lot of them just because, you know, you're growing up and you got a father on a cattle ranch, so you're gonna get your ass whooped. But this is probably the most significant beating I'd taken up to date. Hmm. And then to go into the telemarketing world and then to convince them to let me work some of these leads that I created. And going through that whole process, I mean, fast forward 27 years later, I guess, I'm ranked number 7 in the United States of 1.1 million people that do the job that I do.
Wow.
So when you talk about licensed loan originators or registered loan originators that work for banks, there's over 1 million of them in 2022. That year, I closed enough transactions to be ranked number 7 in the whole nation, but number 1 in the real estate investment finance space for conventional lending. So it's a matter of, I started off definitely not cut out for this business, but as I evolved into it, I created what worked for me within the business and targeting the one group of people I identified with, which was the real estate investor. I felt that they were completely underserved by my industry, misunderstood by my industry, and definitely not focused on by my industry. And I made that my complete item of focus after the crash of 2008. I started focusing on it in 2003, but after the crash of 2008, that was my pure focus, was the real estate investor.
Wow.
And now you see where we're at.
Yeah. Would you say that the telemarketing position helped you get to where you were at as far as talking with people, presenting yourself professionally, answering questions, taking the steps to initiate maybe a cold call, prospecting call?
You start to learn the dynamics of communication with humans. And so you start off following a script. And it's very, very distinctive, the points you want you to hit. And I noticed the more you follow the script, the less successful you became. The more you actually took the main points of the script that they were going for and turned it into conversation, the greater chance you had of success. And then you had to, it slowly evolved over my career to understand that a communication with humans is connection first. You got to connect with that person first before you have the capability to actually close a sale with them. If you can't connect with them, then your chances of closing a sale is extremely tough. Now, I also learned a lot through my career, through different training opportunities, understanding psychology and the psychology of selling with humans, that it can get pretty mystical, right? Almost like alchemy, where you can create a sale out of thin air with somebody. So because of that capability, if you become very good at it, I believe that a person has to be very benevolent with that skill. You can talk a person into a lot of things when you become very, very good at something. And sometimes it's not to the benefit of the other person, it's the benefit of yourself. And that's one of the things I noticed during the refi booms. I have discovered that refinancing a house because the rates went down is not the best option for the vast majority of people. That's a good way for the banking industry to continue to make ridiculous amounts of money. People think, oh, they're dropping the rate, so it must be better for me, not them. No, it's much better for the banking industry if you keep refinancing. The more often you do that, the more you're going to be suckered into that interest-heavy period, and the more you're going to pay strictly interest and never get ahead on the principal. So that concept, that thought process, leads me to understanding that the more you understand the way of being able to get people to buy or close, the more benevolent your intention should be. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So anyway, it's an attitude of putting the customer first, the client and their needs. And if you satisfy those enough time, you're going to be super successful yourself, aren't you?
Well, that's what I explained to a lot of folks, especially in today's environment. You know, the average person in my space does between 0 and 1 transactions per month. And that's real. The average person that does what I do does, let's say, 1 to 2 per month, be a little bit more benevolent, right? 1 to 2 transactions a month. And when people call me, they get a little bit sometimes like, you do 60 plus transactions a month. In my heyday, I was doing 150 transactions a month at the peak. But if you're taking on 100 new clients a month, you're closing about 60 a month, what they wonder whether or not they're going to get the attention from me and my team that they hope for. Like, well, let's talk about what you just brought up and what they're hoping for is that really strong attention. So, but if you're a real estate investor looking to buy properties and you get an appraisal and you get an inspection, you're really, really squeamish about, should I really buy this? Some of these things are telling me I shouldn't buy this house. I'm not feeling confident in it. But then you call your lender and you are between 50 to 100% of their income that month. What do you think they're going to tell that person?
Whatever they need to hear.
Whatever they got to do to get them to close. They are literally going to use every skill set that they had ever been taught and every training in sales they've ever been given to make sure they close on the house, because that's how they bread their table. But I tell them, when you're talking to myself, just know that you are 1/60th of my income at the minimum end. And I'm not saying that to be negative. It's because I do not have the emphasis or the urge to try and close you, because I won't be able to bread my table or I won't be able to pay my bills. My bills will still get paid whether or not they close. What I need that person to be is successful on that deal, because if successful on number one, there's a chance they'll be successful on number four, and there's a very good chance that we'll be successful with them on number 12. I'm concerned about deal number 12 with my client, not 1, 4, 7, or 8, 12. If they get 12, they have a very, very good shot at controlling their future. If they fail to get there, it's questionable or not they'll be able to have the life that they want later. Because that's what we're all working for right now. We're working today for later. I work hard today for that person's later. If I worry about their later, my later is just taken care of. It looks like this mic's not wanting to play ball either. Still not wanting to work, brother. You got, I think it's a receiver problem maybe.
What the heck?
You know, there, see, now it's working.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's flashing on my little whatever it's called. But anyway, so you're in for the long haul. You're not just a love them and leave them. And next, you're looking down the road for the 12th property. And that brings up another.
You just lost you. Right, says brings up another.
Brings up another thing of being in for the long haul. And how these people are going to be successful in what they're doing. You're not just doing the mortgages for a person for their single home. You're looking for a person who wants to do investing in residential properties. That is your focus. Is that correct?
Multiple properties, right? We're going to help them with their house they're going to live in, but the majority of the people I work with, in fact, 99% of the people I work with are buying additional houses. You know, we've got an environment right now, we're being groomed to become a subscription-based economy. 44% of the single-family residences were sold to the hedge funds last year. By 2030, we expect 60+% of the single family residences be owned by hedge funds. You got BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. And this last year, Jeff Bezos started a hedge fund to buy single families. Now, if that's the case, since that is the case, I believe the single family would be the most valuable per square foot real estate on the planet. And if I can help the average person right now who wants to do something different with their life and something bigger and better and have more control of it, buy single family today. Finance them with long-term leverage today. The reason you want to do that is because when you're financing with long-term leverage, you are putting in a small percentage of the costs to acquire that asset. Your tenant living in it, if you buy it correctly, you have to buy it where you keep it reasonably rented the entire time you own it. You can raise the rents on it and it'll appreciate a very minimum amount. If you can do that and keep it rented, as long as somebody else is paying off that leverage, you're growing your initial investment significantly. So, Russ, let's do some quick little math together, and I'll explain how it is. I help people to wrap their head around this whole concept. Because too often people think you got to wait till the rates go down to be successful in real estate investing. That's not it. That's the easiest way. That's an easy barrier to entry to have low interest rates. But we also know low interest rates push high cost. costs have gone through the roof, the cheaper the rates are, because there's more people that'll chase that item because it's cheaper. Therefore, it pushes the price up. That's what inflation is. Too much money chasing too few items. Right now, we have a very low inventory. We had a very low inventory for a very long time. Because of that, we're pushing the price of housing through the roof, and the fact that hedge funds are buying it like crazy. So let's just say, Russ, we're buying a $200,000 house. You're going to buy this as an investment property. You're putting 20% down. How much is 20% of 200,000? 40,000 bucks. I can't hear you, but I can see your lips moving. So $40,000. And let's say, and let's say it's a real bad time in the market. High interest rates, high costs, because we've seen that. As of up until October this last year, the interest rates reached their highest point that we've seen since 1996. So that means, let's say there's $10,000 in total cost. That's not what it is today, guys. I'm just giving this as a rough number or ugly number. That means lender fees, title fees, appraisals, inspections, taxes, insurance, 10 grand. You're investing 50,000 into this $200,000 asset between 40,000 down, $10,000 in costs, 50 grand of your pocket. Now, if that means you're financing 160,000, because 40,000 down, the 10,000 there to make it 50,000 was costs. If you did your job as the CEO of your real estate investment business, which is buying a house that stays reasonably rented the entire time you own it, the tenant pays off that $160,000. So everybody grab your calculator, pause if you have to, take $160,000 and divide it by 30, because that's how many years it's going to take your tenant to pay it off. And what you'll find is that every year your tenants are paying on it, they're basically giving you, averaging over 30 years, $5,333.34 per year by paying down that mortgage. If you hit the divide button and type in your investment of $50,000, you'll find that that's 10.6% of your investment you're getting back every year you keep people in that house. That is the baseline. 10.6% just by having somebody pay off the leverage. Your $50,000 is growing by 10.6%. And that's an ugly $50,000. That's not what it really is. You're probably paying $45,000 to $46,000, but I'm making it a little bit more conservative for you see the power in investment real estate. So we set that aside, 10.6. Now we get into the fact we're in an inflationary environment. Because of inflation, we're seeing appreciation on houses. The average place right now, 6 to 7% across the country, let's say 2.5%. Let's beat this way down. You bought a new build home that's already priced high. It's not going to appreciate a ton over the future because of how many houses they're building out there. Let's say it's 2.5%. 2.5% of 200,000, take 200,000, multiply that times 0.025, you'll find that's $5,000 a year. Now, that's an additional 10% on your $50,000 investment. You're making another 10% because you're buying a house that appreciates at only 2.5%. Add that together, just by buying the house alone and having somebody living in it in a place that at least appreciates 2.5%, you're making 20.6% on your initial investment. That's a great return annually, and we haven't gotten started yet. So now we get into the fact that we get to raise rents. Inflation causes rents to go up. Now we know rents have gone up as high as, 6, 7% over the last year in certain places. Let's say it's only 3%. You're renting this $200,000 house out for $1,800 a month. Now, I would say, let's say you're only getting $100 a month cash flow. This is where 90% of your real estate, so-called real estate investors, will make a mistake. They'll look at that and say, I'm only cash flowing $100. I'm walking away because my cash on cash return is not very good. Cash on cash return to me is a vanity metric. It's only to make you feel good when you're at dinner with your brother-in-law and looking like a badass with great cash on cash return. That's not where the real value is. And hear me out before you start thinking I'm wrong. You're only making $100 a month, first year, $1,800 a month rent. But then you get to raise the rent by 3%. That's only 54 bucks. You're not happy about 54 bucks. And what's really crazy is your tenant's not unhappy about 54 bucks. So like, that's not a big deal. I've got a $200,000 home, 4-bedroom, 2-bath. I'm only raising my rent by $54 the next year. His cousin down the street in the apartment is going up by 100 bucks. So he's happy. He's bragging. He stays in your house. What did your rent go up by? 54%. Your rental cash flow went up by 54%. You're making $100 a month year one. Now it's 154. That's 54% increase. That's significant. Now you can see you're going to get double digit compound cash flow growth with single digit gross rent growth. Now, here's where it gets really, really, really sexy. Let me see if I've got share screen capability. I do not. So Russ, if you can give me share screen for these folks. Make me co-host here. So here's where it gets really, really sexy, guys. you get to raise the payments on the loan to pace inflation. But the lender does not get to, see, you get to raise the rents to pace inflation. The lender does not get to raise the payments on the loan to pace inflation. It's fixed for 30 freaking years. Here's where it gets really, really awesome. Because inflation, the dollar is losing buying power. It's eroding. It's become worth less and less and less every single month because of inflation. In fact, every single day. Case in point, let's go back to the 1920s and before. They used to mint a $20 gold piece. It was a single ounce of gold, about 0.98 something percent, because they had to add in a little bit of alloy to make it durable. So an ounce of gold that was 20 bucks, you could buy a hat, a suit, a tie, a shirt, a belt, a pair of socks, and a pair of shoes for this $20 gold piece. And I do have share screen capability here, Russ. It's working. So you can buy all that with that $20 gold piece. But today, can you buy a pair of socks with 20 bucks? You can't. Not least the socks I wear. They're wool blend. So those things are 30 bucks for a pair of socks. But you can still buy all the stuff I just named with an ounce of gold. Why? Because an ounce of gold is worth $2,000. Now, understand, gold has not gone up in value that much. The cost of those clothes have not gone up in value that much. It's the dollar has lost value that much. It's declined so fast. Another case. At 21 or 22 years old, I could go to a Taco Bell. I know not a lot of people are going there, but you can go to Taco Bell and get two bean burritos, two tacos, and a drink for $1.99. That was their value menu. I drove through a drive-thru with my daughter not that long ago because I had to take her back to school for a band thing or whatever. She said, let's just hit Taco Bell. She ordered that exact same thing. Two bean burritos, two tacos, and a drink is 15 bucks. Taco shells have not gone up that much. Beans are not that much more expensive. It's the dollar has lost that much value. So here's what we need you to know. You're going to look at an amortization table. You're going to buy this house for $200,000. You're going to have today's rates, and you're going to pay principal and interest for 360 months. And you're going to be tempted to look at that, and you're going to think, 360 months, I'm going to pay $407,000 in principal and interest. I'm going to show you this graph here. It's not a graph, it's a tool, more or less. $407,689.20 in principal and interest over 30 years on a $160,000 loan. Traditional people will tell you, pay extra, take your cash flow and pay off the mortgage, do a debt snowball. I'm going to tell you, don't. Never listen to them because they don't understand leverage at all. And let me explain why. Because every time when you borrow the money today at $160,000 and you're using your tenant's money to pay it back, every time you hand them a dollar, it's worth 0.6% less on the minimum end every single month. So as you recalculate every dollar that leaves your hands for 360 months, compare it to the day you borrowed it, you didn't pay the $407,000 in total payments. You didn't pay the $160,000. You paid $154,336.97 in actual dollar value. That's what you paid. So the longer you take to pay, the less you actually pay. Now, everybody get your phones out. This is the only time in a podcast I tell people get your phones out. I need you to go to your app store and download the QJO investment tool. QJO, and it stands for Quit Jerking Off Investment Tool. The reason I named it that is because when people are chasing cash on cash return, that's all you're doing. You're avoiding great deals because you don't understand what it is to be a real estate investor. You have people walking away from opportunity that don't understand that it was a great opportunity there. You now are slightly more educated on what a great opportunity is. You might buy a house that the next guy walks away from and you do amazing 20.6% baseline plus interest, your cash flow is growing at double digits, and you're paying back the lender over 30 years less than what you borrowed. So now you go to the QJO investment tool, you download it, you're gonna pause here because you're probably gonna need to because of download time. And let's just park these numbers in. Now that you got it, you go to the third calculator. It's called the mortgage amortization tool, mortgage amortization schedule. Now this is my app. It comes off that tool I just showed you. You can put, it's gonna say down payment at the top, put in percentage, 20% down. Purchase price, $200,000. And it was what you're going to put in there. And then we're going to go with an interest rate of 7.625 just for the sake of running numbers together. So that way you can see what your principal and interest payment is today, which is $1,132.47. It also shows your loan balance. Upper right-hand corner is a calendar icon. You click on that. You scroll far to the right to 2054. Hit select and close. And you can scroll all the way bottom and see your total payments to date of $407,689.20 and the inflation-adjusted payment $154,336. Another interesting thing on this calculator, you'll look at the payment, your principal and interest payment of $1,132.47. Then it says an inflation-adjusted payment, $103.56. What that means is what you can buy today with $103 will cost you $1,132 in 30 years based upon current inflation ranges. So understand how inflation affects you as a real estate investor.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you, buddy.
All right. So a person comes to you and he wants to buy a $200,000 house. Typically, it's going to be in it. They're not going to live in it. They're going to rent it. So it's going to be a 20% down payment.
Yes. If you're buying an investment property to hold for long term.
Okay. So that's the 20, that's the $40,000. Plus, right. You said, sounds like another $10,000, give or take, for the other.
It's thing. Less than that today, but that's me using round numbers to show people the power of leverage.
Okay. Understood. So the person buys this house, they've got it fully rented year after year after year. Where are they going to get the money? They've got to have money if they want to expand. Like you were saying, you're looking down the road for the person to purchase their 12th property. Are they pulling money off of the first 11 in order to get the money, the down payment and so on for the 12th? Or how are they?
Let me share how I did it. I'll just share how I did it.
Okay.
Okay. So I was in the industry up until 2008. We all went through a crash in 2008. I'm not sure where you're at, but I was still in the industry. I had investment properties. I had a net worth of over $3.5 million. I was in my early 30s. I was ripping down the road on a Harley to get my head clear for 3 days. It was August 8th of 2008. Eight was my lucky number. I was using day of eights, 8808. To go get some time out on the Harley. 15 minutes into my ride, I was taken out at 80 plus miles an hour by a kid in his dad's truck. I woke up in the hospital with the inability to walk. I'd shattered both my legs, had a collapsed right lung. I had enough of a head injury that my mind would recycle, my memory would recycle every 3 minutes. I'd have to be reminded where I was at every 3 minutes. And when I came out of the hospital, I went in worth, like I said, over $3 million. I was 190 pounds. I was a rock climber. I was a marathoner. I was a mountain biker, all this stuff.
A man's man.
And I left the hospital in a wheelchair, negative net worth of $1.5 million and 156 pounds. That's how much, that's the swing I experienced. When I came back from that, it took me till 2016 to get everything squared away with all the people I owed, negotiate with everybody because of where I was at and the crash, helped me negotiate. I didn't have to endure a whole lot of stuff. I can negotiate all that. Then I got to where I could walk again. I trained my brain to remember again. It was a long process. But then I finally got my credit score from 460 back in the 700s, and I had saved $90,000 to invest in real estate by the end of 2016. That's when I discovered the infinite banking strategy. A very good friend of mine and client was selling life insurance. He had retired from the military to sell life insurance. Prior to that, he was the captain of the USS Tucson nuclear submarine. He worked at the Naval Academy as an instructor. Then he was head of the Joint Chiefs and he oversaw weapons for the military. So he leaves that to sell life insurance. I thought he was nuts. They explained to me what it was. I immediately took the $90,000 I saved, because I saved 10% of my income for a number of years to have 90 grand to invest. Instead of buying the houses, I put it into a life insurance policy that had a $2.7 million death benefit. I was able to access $83,000 of that money within 30 days, less than 30 days, actually. I borrowed that money against my life insurance policy, bought those three houses, took the cash flow from those houses, plus the 10% of my income I was saving anyway, start paying back the loan against that policy, knocking down the balance. I knocked it down from an $83,000 balance down into the 50s. And as soon as I got it down enough and I found another house I wanted to buy, I pulled out more and did it again and again and again. I created an engine. So if you have money right now, you're thinking about investing, rather than invest it right away into houses, purchase the life insurance policy. Use the life insurance policy as a line of credit to keep buying and rotating it. I have now moved over $1.2 to $1.3 million out of that particular life insurance policy. I've got seven of them now. My family wealth is based upon a foundation of life insurance policies for every member of the family. And then we've used that to buy houses. And every member of the family is now leasing a house from the family trust that was purchased with the life insurance policies. You can start small, but you turn an engine on, putting it back and using it again, putting it back and using it again. It's a compound growth thing that takes time. That was 2016. It's now what? 2024? Mm-hmm. 8 years later, look what we've been able to do. You know, it's something, once you get started and you get your mind going, it will all happen. You just have to stay at it.
So you, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. So you used insurance, and what was that, whole life, modified life, or
that
whatever?
That was the whole life. I don't do anything else but whole. I don't let anything go into the market that can fluctuate. Everybody says, well, you can make so much more on index and whatever. I don't give a damn. I want something I can have steady, because I've got other places I can do the risk. I want zero to minimal risk over here to build that family wealth. That's the foundation, guys. Foundation is minimal risk. Uh-huh. You could, once you build it up, you can get all your risky crap way up here once you get your pyramid built.
Yeah.
Build your pyramid first. This whole thing of trying to swing for the fences every single time you get up to bat is crazy.
So these clients that have been with you and have been acquiring more and more of these residential properties, are they refinancing them along the way, or are they buying and holding them for that 30-year term typically?
Well, they will refinance them if they have enough equity to pull cash out and buy another property or two.
Okay.
They don't refinance them just for the sake of getting a lower rate. I think it's insane.
Okay.
I have yet to ever refinance a single house I've purchased for interest rate.
Okay. So that would be their engine then, basically. Using it to be able to acquire more. Wow. Hey, you know what? We could go on and on and on, and this is really interesting.
A lot more too if we wanted to, but I know that this is probably already bending people's heads.
You could write a book if you haven't already.
I've got a few of them out there. There's one right now in with the publisher. I'm waiting to hear back on their total thing. But yeah, you know the name Robert Allen?
Heard the name.
He wrote No Money Down in the 80s. He wrote the foreword for my book. It's right now in the hands of a publisher. A lot of artwork was done. 14 works of art were done on this book. It's some really cool stuff being done.
Okay, so we gotta hang up here. But...
And you cut out there on that as you start talking.
Look at that.
There we go.
What the heck? Anyway, so couple of sentences, advice to somebody thinking about doing this. Where would they start? How would they start?
Number one thing is find the people that you can identify with when it comes to helping you on your team. You got to build a team. You can't do this by yourself. Everybody thinks that you save money by trying to do it all by yourself. I think you're nuts. I talk to a lot of people that have different jobs. They're not plumbers. They're not electricians. They're not roofers, but yet they want to buy a house and rehab it themselves. Quit that. Get the right people to do the right job. You got to interview everybody. And it's not a matter of price. Just because they're cheap doesn't mean they're good. Cheap things cost you a lot more in the long run. Never, ever, ever shop price. But you want to make sure they're not taking advantage of you. So it's definitely a balancing act. But get your team in place before you do anything else. Explore infinite banking. If you need to understand it, don't just call random stuff. Get referrals. There's a lot of great guys out there doing infinite banking. I know a ton of them, and they all interact with me. And I can also introduce you to the guy. I don't sell it. I don't profit from it. I just talk about it, because that to me is the greatest foundation when it comes to real estate investing.
And what was it called?
Infinite Banking or Whole Life.
Oh, that's the insurance.
Yes. That's the foundation of family wealth, in my opinion.
Got it. Okay, anything else?
That to me is the absolute number one thing a person should do is get the right team in place. You don't get the right team in place, you're putting yourself at risk.
Right on. Okay, somebody wants some more advice from you. How do they get a hold of you, Aaron?
A couple ways, right? I just tell everybody on podcast, text me, 602-291-3357. Again, 602-291-3357. Just tell me that you heard me on Money Talks and you want to be able to get an appointment scheduled to chat. I'll send it off to my assistant and she'll reach out to you and she'll sync up our calendars. You can also go to my website, aaronchapman.com. Pretty simple. There's only one bearded redneck lender out there.
Got it. Okay, so phone number again, 602-291-3357.
3357.
That is it.
And AaronChapman.com to hook up with you. And I think you're going to blow their minds when they spend a little time with you on the phone, getting some more of this information. That's cool. Hey, folks, we got to hang up here, but this guy's been great, hasn't he? A lot of great information on how to build some wealth through investment in residential properties. A lot of people I've spoken to and with, they talk about multifamily. But here's a proponent of the other way to go, and that would be the residential. So anyway,
multifamily isn't great, Russ. Multifamily is awesome, but you got to walk before you run. And quite frankly, there's a lot harder to get into multifamily than it is to get into single family right now. Go where you can get your hands on it, not where you got to compete and have a shit ton of money to get started.
Well, yeah, I was going to say there's a bigger nut to crack to get started in multifamily.
Yeah, it's a bigger nut. You can also do what they call syndication, but man, you're putting somebody else in charge and you don't have control over everything. I'm a person that says control what you can control as long as you can control it. 30-year fix is the greatest financial instrument in history per Warren Buffett. It's a one-way bet. If you're wrong, you protect, you can just refinance for the lower rate if you want. If you're right, you protect yourself against a lot of potential raising interest rates. Let me tell you guys, the rates are probably going to get higher than they're before they get lower. And I'm pretty sure on that.
Yeah, stay tuned for that deal, right?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's coming. I've got plenty of charts to show if we want to get there.
Cool, man. All right. So, folks, give Aaron a call. Check out his website. Get in contact with him. He'll get you started in this whole thing. Anything I can do for you in the area of sales training or business and individual coaching, give me a call. 386-286-2450. RSTCoachingAcademy.com. Other than that, that's all we have today for Money Talks. It's been a blast, Aaron, getting to know you and hearing all about how you're doing this. And I'd have to say a unique way that I haven't heard of before. So it's eye-opening all the way around.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll see you next time around, okay? Over and out. Bye-bye. Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.